In Stormont, Judith sits on both the Social Development and Finance and Personnel Committees, as well as on the Assembly Commission. This clearly shows Judith has a broad range of expertise. She comes today to address conference on the issue of shared housing and its importance in a shared future. Judith.
Good morning, conference. Those of you who managed to see our conference broadcast and hear Naomi's dulcet tones this week will have been reminded of why we are here today, what we are all about, why the party exists, why I joined the party, and why more and more people are showing an interest in Alliance and joining our great party, i.e. because of our vision. A vision of a society where everyone lives, works, and socialises together in safety. This morning I would like to speak to you about one very important aspect of this vision. That is about people living together, and specifically about shared housing. In a 2010 report by the Independent Commission on the Future for Housing in Northern Ireland, it was stated that integrated housing is the key ingredient for a peaceful and prosperous Northern Ireland, leaving peace lines and religious ghettoisation of housing that was perpetuated by the Troubles in the past. We welcome this finding, even though we knew it 40 years ago. But hey, we always know Alliance is leading change. The report went on to say that new housing developments in Northern Ireland should aim for complete integration of Catholics and Protestants. And the Belfast Telegraph said that this was a bold vision. I wonder what they will report on our conference today. The most recent Life and Times survey in Northern Ireland shows that 83% of people here would prefer to live in a mixed neighbourhood and believe that better relations would result from greater integration. However, the reality is that over 90% of our public housing here is still segregated on religious grounds, with some of our most polarised estates having more than 80% of residents from the same religious background. And this was a point that was then highlighted in the recent Community Relations Peace Report. Up until the outbreak of the Troubles, most public housing was on entirely mixed estates. However, as the violence worsened, people felt they had to move back into places where they felt secure, which ultimately meant moving into highly segregated areas. Public housing estates became more segregated through 30 years of conflict, and there has been little change despite the peace process. For many, their home is the place where they want to feel safest, but unfortunately the fear and threat of violence continues to influence the physical layout of housing in Northern Ireland. On a positive note, a recent report by the Housing Executive shows that there has been a significant reduction in tenants becoming homeless due to intimidation. Almost 700 households were homeless due to sectarian or paramilitary intimidation in 2003-04, and this has reduced by over 40% in 2009-10. We know that forced integration is not an option, but choice and encouragement should be given to those who want to live together, and those who wish to live in integrated public housing are very poorly served by our current state of affairs. We stated in our election manifesto last year that we want the Housing Executive to have a statutory requirement to facilitate and encourage mixed housing in the social sector, as we believe that the development of mixed or integrated housing is one of the key aspects to building a shared future in Northern Ireland. It would appear that the DSD Minister agrees with that vision. Indeed, when talking about a new organisation that might replace the Housing Executive, he says, and I quote, "Such a body will be charged with leading and working closely with DSD in managing our desired transition away from housing policies that perpetuate separation to housing policies across the board which deliver on the promise of our shared future objectives." And whilst we welcome a positive change in language and gesture, many ministers have talked the talk on this issue without yet walking the walk. And indeed, when the DUP Social Development Minister is probed a little further on this, he's demonstrated a worrying lack of commitment to showing leadership and taking responsibility on dealing with the segregated housing system. Hardly a demonstration of delivering change or moving Northern Ireland forward. One thing that I would like to point out is that, contrary to popular belief, segregated housing is not just confined to social housing. There's a very high level of segregation within our private housing too. And therefore, I believe that clear targets and timescales for integrating people with different religious beliefs and different incomes should be set by our executive. So then, if more than 80% of people want to live together, what are the other causes that are stopping them that we need to tackle? In all of the research and reports that have been written, perhaps one of the most worrying figures is the fact that 21% of those aged 18 to 24 said that they would prefer to live in a neighbourhood solely of their own religion. Now, whilst I know that our Alliance Youth is growing, and I know that there are clearly a large number of young people who understand the benefits of a shared future, it is very troubling that this attitude exists amongst a fifth of those surveyed. Therefore, we need to establish why this is the case, and we need to work on changing attitudes as well as removing the physical elements that promote and establish division. The early years in a child's life are some of the most formative, and it is that early stage that children can establish opinions and attitudes that shape their behaviours for the rest of their lives. But the highly segregated nature of our schools means that the vast majority of our children and young people are educated up to the age of 18 with little or no interaction with other traditions or identities. I know that my colleague Trevor Lunn will be addressing you next on delivering education for our children, so I leave that issue for him to cover. On a more positive note, those findings among the 18 to 24-year-olds were in contrast to those in the age 35 to 44, where only 9% agreed with that statement. And obviously falling into that age bracket, I know that we are the wisest. Seriously though, segregated housing, segregated schools, segregated services, intimidatory behaviour through disrespectful and threatening demarcation of territory or actual violence and hate crime are all factors that prevent us from achieving the reality of a shared future. Research by the Institute of Conflict Research for Belfast Interface Project was published earlier this year. It identified 99 different security barriers or defensive architecture across Belfast. Interfaces change over time, and not all are physically demarcated with a peace wall. Something as simple as a town landmark, such as a local park, shop, or leisure centre, can often become a no-go area for one side of the community, and these are all issues that need to be addressed. Needless to say, we cannot enforce nor expect a change to happen overnight, but we do need to work towards a more permanent change for the better, involving communities, political groups, statutory bodies, all. And we need to see results. The most frustrating truth is that the cost of maintaining our divided society is costing us over £1 billion a year. Even if nothing else motivates people to make a change, surely spending £1 billion a year on maintaining a separate schools, separate housing, etc., can only be regarded as a waste of money and a totally unnecessary duplication of services. And given the rather precarious financial situation that we are in, we could be using that money so much more wisely. Whether it's to encourage investment, create more job opportunities, or to implement a successful childcare strategy. And with welfare reform on our doorstep, having more jobs and affordable childcare would certainly be a welcome move for the people of Northern Ireland. We need to be careful not to create shared spaces that are neutral and sanitised, though, because we don't want to deny people from celebrating their culture and heritage. We need to focus on making spaces more inclusive and welcoming, and this means having a robust policy on flags, emblems, murals, and paramilitary memorabilia. I'm sure you will all agree that we want to see an end to this general tolerance of illegally erected flags and murals here, all of which are put up to show as a show of strength and as a warning to those entering an area. Change can only happen if all representatives work together to demonstrate a united policy on what is and isn't acceptable. Of course, shared housing space is only one of the ways in which we can tackle our segregated towns and cities. But we believe that by changing the neighbourhoods that people grow up in, it would make huge inroads into a truly shared future. Tackling disadvantage and normalising good relations belong together. And so improving access to housing, employment and education is crucial. And I believe that over a period of time we should expect housing to play its part in bringing people together. By creating vibrant, inclusive and diverse housing, which attracts present and future generations of people to live, and shared spaces that are viewed as safe and welcoming to all to work and socialise in, we can achieve the Alliance vision. Thank you.